Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit GreenVenturesLandscaping.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. There's been a glow surrounding Joe Rex Road. If you've been watching the video feed today, you probably noticed it. It's like some angelic glow. And it's because it's Rex Road's favorite day of the year. I mean, it's the beginning of the NCAA tournament. He's been smiling the whole show. Joe, how's it feel today? I mean, you're in Oklahoma City. You're 7 feet away from the arena where you're going to be covering the tournament today. Like, how good's life for Joe Rex Road right now?
Yeah, hard to complain, man. Hard to complain. Don't never take it for granted. My first NCAA tournament I covered was in 1999. I covered Wally Szczerbiak, by the way, speaking of the Miami of Ohio Redhawks in a game, losing to Kentucky. But no, it's the best, man. It's the best. And I told, we have Joey Dwyer, friend of the show, who's here covering Vanderbilt. And I told him, I think I told him, gosh, did I tell him or did I just mean to tell him? Well, I'll tell him now. You know, if you're covering a team in a venue, don't, like you cover the day session or something, like you stay for all the games. You do not miss a game at your site, because that may be like the game that people talk about forever. In fact, it's funny because Gentry was covering Tennessee and Indy a few years ago and, wrote, left, and didn't. Was not in the building for St. Peter's beating Kentucky. It's like you do not leave the building. So now I'll be there in there all day today. Can't wait. And you just never know. Sometimes a day's not all that eventful, and sometimes you have four absolute crazy things happening in all four games. It's the best, man. So hope a lot of you are skipping work, making up illnesses, and enjoying yourselves today.
What's today? It's like the day to get a vasectomy. Like, this is like the nation's leading day for vasectomies across the country.
Or you get it on, you get it on Wednesday.
Wednesday,
and then
yeah.
It's like, and
yeah.
then, you got to sit on the couch for the next 2 days. Sorry, going to have to sit there and ice the marbles. So, just going to have to watch basketball all day. Sorry.
So I guess if you're listening to us and that's you've elected to do that over the last couple of days, Godspeed today. Hope you enjoy some good basketball. I do want to shout out Trevor on the text line, who has made me aware of this. I guess Alante Taylor was addressing the media yesterday, and PK asked him about giving up 8 touchdowns last year, and somebody screenshotted Taylor's face as he was asking him that question. And then Alante Taylor quote tweeted, it was like, man, what? What are you talking about? So good to know PK's off to a good start with Alante Taylor.
Oh man. Well, I mean, first of all, there's nothing wrong with like asking about, but I'm sure PK did it with a special flair. Just
so Alante, you couldn't stop anybody from getting in the end zone last year. What's with that?
Why do they catch all the balls in the end zone against you, Alante?
I was previously unaware that this conversation took place, so that's awesome. Just amazing.
That look on his face is pretty amazing.
It's pretty awesome. He's like, really? This is where we're going here.
Who is this goofball?
We will get into an exercise with a mock draft that Joe Rex Road participated in later in the program that honestly I'm stunned. Like, I cannot believe this happened in this mock draft, but we'll get into it a little bit later in the show. Charles Robinson, normally with us at 8 o'clock on Thursday. He will be with us tomorrow at 7:30. So looking forward to that. Joe, it's a massive game tonight for the Preds. So they have Seattle coming into town. They are 2 points back of the Kraken for that final playoff spot in the Western Conference as things get in action tonight. So you've got Seattle and the Predators head to head. If you can win this game in regulation, if you're the Preds, you're going to even them up at 71 points. Now, LA is in front of you. San Jose is in front of you as well. And I'm looking right now to see, where those teams are playing tonight, because I'm just assuming that at least one of them will be. The Sharks are playing at home against Buffalo, and the Kings are at home against the Flyers. So who knows where, like, it's all going to end up by the end of the night. Like, LA could win and they could be in the final spot, or San Jose could win and they could be in the final spot. But you've at least got an opportunity tonight, Joe, to draw yourself dead even with the Kraken. You would, if you win this game, you would be even in points. You'd be even in games played. Like, you'd be right there with Seattle. So it's a pretty large game tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Biggest game they've had at Bridgestone Arena for in a while tonight.
Yeah, look, and credit to them for hanging in. It's not like they look, they haven't gone on a heater here to hang in. They've kind of been step forward, step back, but that's still been enough to hang in there. But, like, you know, when you lose some of the guys they lost and you sort of you get picked apart a little bit at the trading deadline, there are teams that fade when that happens. You know, the Preds are, what are they, 4-4-2 in their last 10. So, you know, it's not great. There was opportunity here for them to be in a better position right now. But still, to be able to have a game of this magnitude on March 19th after what happened at the deadline is that's a great development for the guys in the room, right? To be able to play games of that kind of meaning at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, they beat Seattle last week in what at the time was a big game. They drew themselves within one, and then you blow a game in Vancouver. After that, you lose on the road to Edmonton, and you found yourself basically, you know, right where you were before that. It's a big win they get the other night against Winnipeg. But you got an opportunity here, Joe. You've got tonight against the Kraken. You got a lot of games coming up, but you're at home again on Saturday. I realize it's Vegas, but you're at home against Vegas. You got Chicago on the road Sunday, which is a very winnable game. You're going directly against San Jose on Tuesday, so that's another team that's right there with you in the playoffs. And then you got two more home games after that against New Jersey and Montreal. So, you know, varying degrees of, you know, quote unquote, you know, level of difficulty with some of these teams, but you've got five of your next six at home. Like, this is a massive opportunity here if you could take care of your home schedule. I mean, if you, let's say in these next six games, you got five of them at home. If you can walk out of there with 9 points, 9 of 12, I think you're going to probably like where you're at the end of that. So, you know, 9 of 12 is not an easy thing to do.
No.
You know, Montreal is a good team. Vegas is a good team. And when you're playing every other day, I mean, it's a challenging thing, but if you could, you know, 8 or 9 points in the next 12, I think you're really going to like where you're at if you're the Predators.
No, if they do that, I think they'd be probably holding a spot at that point. You know, it's like you say, you back through what they've been doing. It's just, you know, that point of Vancouver that's just one where you're like, man, you know, you don't want to do that. But most of these games are manageable. And, you know, I mean, anybody in the Pacific is beatable, right? I mean, it's kind of amazing. Sure. When you look at, I mean, the Preds could, like, I mean, they wouldn't be, you know, they, I mean, they're only 9 points behind the you know, Pacific leading Ducks at this point. I mean, it's amazing to look at the difference between the two divisions in the West this year. But yeah, there's nothing ahead that's you know, that's undoable, if that's a word. But you know, can they string stuff together like they haven't been able to do here for a while and really get rolling?
That's going to be the question. And look, they've had some, you know, Forsberg got back on the board the other night. That was important. A great shot by him to beat Hellebuck. He had gone into a little bit of kind of a mini slump. You know, Stamkos has cooled off a little bit here. So if you could get him going again, you know, O'Reilly, big goal in the shootout the other night. Again, it's been a great story from Matt Wood, right? Like, we talked about it yesterday. Matt Wood's going to be flirting with a 20-goal season as a rookie. You know, given all the ups and downs from him this year, if that's where he ends up, that's awesome. He's looked really good at center. So a lot of stuff to like there. But if you could get, you know, Forsberg starting to roll again, if you could get Stamkos maybe going again on the power play here, like, you all of a sudden be cooking with gas. And look, to his credit, I think for the most part, since the Olympic break, Saros has been pretty good. So, like, if Saros can continue to play as well as he's played coming out of the Olympic break, I think you're going to give yourself a shot coming down the stretch here.
Does Saros need to be, for them to actually get in, does he have to take it up another notch?
Probably. That would be my guess. Probably. I still, like, their defense, I think their defense is better than it was a year ago. I still think that you can run into some problems out there with their defense. So yes, I mean they had one blown coverage the other night where I think it was Josh Morrissey. I mean, he could have pitched a tent in the middle of the slot. He was so open. So you can't be having some of that. But yeah, like I think Soros will probably have to take it up another notch if they're going to get in. But I think for the most part, he has been good since the Olympic break, which is a good sign.
Yeah, no, it seems like that really, because you wonder about that. I mean, there is like wear and tear, there's a lot of pressure that goes along with that. It seems like maybe that was a good mentally for him
Yeah.
to have the success he had, especially considering how things were going before the break.
So a large game tonight for the Predators. They got the Kraken coming into town. We'll have Andrew Burnett coming up at 7:30. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators at 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the NCAA tournament. Everything on the board. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Come play hooky with 102.5 The Game today at Jelly Roll's Goodnight Nashville, and tomorrow at Boom Boz in East Nashville from noon to 6. You can watch the basketball games with us, enjoy great food, handcrafted beverages, and win prizes. NCAA tournament coverage on 102.5 The Game is presented by Maple Street Biscuit Company and Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We will have Predators head coach Andrew Brunette joining us at 7:30. We'll get into tonight's big game against the Seattle Kraken with him. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 on the game against the Kraken coming up tonight as well. Joe, I believe we have received potentially the highest compliment that we could receive on the text line. We did our Kuharsky impressions last segment, and Byron has texted in and says that he honestly can't be the only listener who isn't 100% sure whose PK impression is whose. Meaning we sound pretty similar. I told him that's
Nice.
the highest compliment we could receive.
Wow, we are. See, that's max versatility right there. I can speak for myself. Like, whenever I decide to do a PK impersonation, you just never know what it's going to sound like. Sometimes it's like Edith Bunker, Archie. I just, who knows?
Especially my husband, Archie Bunker.
There we go. You just never know. So that's great.
I didn't know he was going to go crazy about raccoons yesterday, but he did. So that went down a path I didn't expect.
Yeah. A lot of animal talk yesterday, and then apparently he decided to continue to take out his frustration by offending Alante Taylor immediately.
I
So,
guess so.
is that something that we could get? Can we get that audio? Can we find that?
I'm
Is
sure
that
it's
out
out there
there?
somewhere.
Yes,
Yeah,
I
we can
think we
find it.
can.
Maybe it'll be included in something later this hour. We'll see. George from Murfreesboro says Matt Wood might be the best first round pick the Preds have had in a while. Look, I really like him. I like kind of the poise that he brings. He scores the big goal the other night, Joe, against Connor Hellebuck, and that gives the Predators a 3-2 lead. Now Winnipeg tied it up after that, and they won it in the shootout, but that's a huge goal from Wood the other night. Kind of just patiently waiting. Quick snapshot to beat Hellebuck over the glove. And, Max Herz tweeted this out after the game, Joe. But this was the quote. They were asking, Matt Wood after the game about, where that ranks on the list of the biggest goals he's ever scored. And his quote was, "I think the biggest goal I'll ever score is the next one." That's the Matt Wood quote, which I like a little bit of that. A little bit of swagger. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I like that too. But I mean, what if it's like an empty netter against a crappy team?
I don't know.
It's not that great, man. Sorry. But no, yeah, I like the no rear. It's like John Calipari in the last few days. And I don't have a rear view mirror. I just is straight ahead. There you go. No, I mean, it's really nice to see someone seem to be developing before our eyes like this. I mean, too many of their prospects, as we've talked about a million times, just have had just sort of a ceiling on them, and you can just kind of see it's like, yeah, it's not what they hoped when they drafted this guy. But I mean, you can see where, and who knows where it's going to end up, what the actual ceiling is. But I mean, you can see more growth ahead for him. The physicality, like you said, the poise, maturity. I mean, it's they needed it, and they need more of it.
Well, no, and what makes him different is like you're talking about, a 21-year-old that has some skill to him, But he's also 6'4" and like 210 pounds. Like he's a big dude. So that helps, right? Like he's not getting pushed around out there. He can win battles along the wall if he's playing wing, as Brunette has talked about, and we'll probably get into this in a little bit more detail with him coming up here in just a few minutes. But he's got pretty good speed coming through the neutral zone, especially for a guy that's his size. So like you're talking a 6'4" guy that can skate, that's got a good shot. Like I think if you're a Predators fan, you're like, this dude's 21. Like I think you start to allow yourself to think about what he could turn into. And look, I'm not going to act like I think Matt Wood's ever going to turn into like some 100-point guy or anything, but I think he could be a really, really good top six player for them for a long time. And that would be an important development. And the fact that he is on the verge of, like, he's 5 goals away from a 20-goal season, and he's gotten a little hot here offensively. Like, the fact that he's getting kind of to the other side of a rookie wall that I think he for sure hit earlier this year, and now, he's got more opportunity. He's playing down the middle. All these things are really good developments for the Predators.
Yeah, and they badly needed it. And if they do catch fire a little bit here, if they hang in there and make a push, that's – if he's one of the key reasons, I mean, that's like, kind of best-case scenario. You've got some veterans who obviously you know what they can do and what they've done. They're going to be key too. But a guy like him helping drive that, I mean, that also speaks to the future a little bit while you're trying to make this run. And this could be, I mean, we have no idea what it's going to look like next year, what's going to happen over the summer, who's going to be where, all that stuff. But this could be their last shot at the postseason for a while.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen from here, but if some of these, and look, you throw Ufko in there, like Ufko's only played 6 games. So we'll see. Right. I mean, the 6 games is not a large sample size. I think he looked pretty darn good when he's been in there. Like, he looks like a guy to me that's ready to stick in the NHL. So, again, it's 6 games. There have been plenty of guys that have played well for, a 10, 15-game period, and then it kind of plateaus, and you start to see it go the other way. So, I'm not for sure willing to say that he's made it yet, but Ufko looks I mean, when you start to look at the whole body of work, Joe, like, he was their best player in Milwaukee all year long. He was really, really good down there. And then he's come up to the NHL and has immediately started to play well. Like, there's a growth track that's pretty easy to follow with Ufko and Wood right now. So you're feeling really good about those two.
Yeah, and the more of that, the better, obviously, for the Preds. That's one thing. When you move some guys, it does create the opportunity. I mean, I'm sure that they – would love to have, McCarron still and things like that. But you create some opportunity in different spots for people. And it's good to see some prospects who actually look like they've got, a chance here.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will join us coming up next. We'll get in tonight's big game with the Seattle Kraken with him. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up later this hour at 7:45. Again, Charles Robinson normally with us on Thursdays at 8 o'clock. He will be with us tomorrow at 7:30. Andrew Brunette up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ian Safar here with you. Big game for the Preds tonight, taking on the Seattle Kraken. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Brunette to the program, brought to you by Arrow Exterminators, going beyond the call. Arrow Exterminators, a proud partner with the Nashville Predators. Andrew, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing good.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So obviously, Andrew, that's a long road trip. That's an exhausting, I'm sure, road trip. But you guys get a big win in Winnipeg the last time out, setting up a huge game tonight. So overall, what did you make of the way your team played on the road trip? Where do you feel like your guys' game is right now as a whole?
Yeah, I thought we hung in there on the road trip. I think it was an emotional week, the trade deadline week, and kind of getting right back at it in Buffalo. We started that little bit of a trip there, and thought we played a real sound game. We didn't get points, out of. And then going to Seattle is a big win for our group. Thought we played, especially the second half of the game really well. A little disappointing in Vancouver, letting that late lead slip. responded pretty well in Edmonton, you know, against a desperate team and fell a little bit short. And we got two big points in Winnipeg. So our game still, you know, obviously we've had some changes. We're still trying to build it back up to where I think it should be. I don't think we're there quite yet. And tonight will be a great test. I mean, these games coming back from, you know, a long road trip are always the ones that keep you sleepless at night. And, you know, where we're at, I think we understand the importance. We got to get the energy, which we should have, especially coming back at home where it's an exciting time of year to be playing.
Well, Andrew, you mentioned the, you know, the trading deadline and, you know, a lot of teams obviously have to kind of deal with that depending on what they do. And then you have to figure some things out. And obviously people are disappointed to see some guys go, but do you end up getting any kind of a bump from that too? Sort of like, okay, this is what we've got. Now there's certainty. And also maybe a little bit of like, let's show everybody that, you know, we can still do this.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, as a coaching staff, it gives you a little certainty. I think for some of the players that were in flux or weren't sure they're going to go or stay, and we had a couple of those guys that it was, a you know, psychologically kind of draining little bit of a week. But then you bring up the young guys that bring a lot of energy and excitement, and I think the balance hopefully is getting there. You know, I think early on it was a little bit difficult to kind of get going right away, but the young kids had a lot of energy and kind of carried us through some of those games here. So that's a big step. So, yeah, I think, all in all, I think it is, we'll get there. Like I said, it was a big win in Winnipeg. It was kind of an emotional game, and I think the energy was back on the bench, so hopefully we can build off that.
So, Andrew, we've talked a lot this week about Matthew Wood. He scored some big goals for you guys lately, got a big one the other night against Connor Hellebuck and Winnipeg. Obviously, you've moved him down the middle, and we've talked some about that. But what do you make of just the way that he's playing, the way that he seems to be elevating his game, and how much do you think, you know, moving him to center maybe has unlocked some of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done a heck of a job at center. I think he's excited to play center. A little bit of an experiment with him, and he's handled it really well, even his face-offs. You know, I think he's played during, you know, almost his whole life besides the last few years, so I think he's comfortable there. Seems to have been able to, he could be our deadliest player through the middle of the ice coming up with speed, and he's made some unbelievable plays at somewhere, even goals. So you could see that vision and creativity through the middle. And you know, I don't know if it's unlocked. I think he's had a really good year. It's just a little bit more opportunity right now playing with Phil and Marchie or Phil and Vange. And it's, he's able to, you know, you play those players, you're always going to, if you're capable, elevate your game, and he's elevated his game. So good for him. We're kind of watching him grow before our eyes here, and there'll be some speed bumps, but I hopefully he can keep that momentum he's got going right now and keep building his game.
Do you think, you know, his long-term future is down the middle, or do you not let yourself get too far ahead on someone like that?
That's a great question. I mean, I think philosophically, in my view of hockey, I see him as a center. I think the way, and if you look organizationally through the depth charts, I think if we can get him there, I think that'll just make whoever's job comes in and going forward, I think that's a strength that you need to win in this level through the middle of the ice. And the more you have of them, the better off you'll be. So I think, you know, I see him as a center. I love speed and creativity through the middle of the ice, and I think he brings that. And, you know, you see him in the faceoff circle, and he's pretty detailed defensively. Obviously, there's some growth there, like every young player. But I believe he can get there, and I think it'll be an important piece for this franchise going down the road.
So, Andrew, you know, it's only been six games for UFCO. For the most part, I've been pretty impressed watching him play. What have you made of the way that he's kind of stepped into things here in the middle of a playoff race at the NHL level?
Yeah, good for him. You know, I think he deserved the opportunity. I think we talked about this, and I think he's grabbed it. There's some inconsistencies in his game on the defensive side, but I think you can see his offensive upside, the way he sees the game, the poise he has with the puck. He got probably one of the prettiest goals I've ever seen as a first NHL goal, especially from a defenseman. Yeah. It was pretty spectacular. So, yeah, you see a lot of the upside. There's some things that Everett has, same with Woody. There's things that we got to grow to make them a pro every night. And he went into some tough buildings, had some tough matchups. You know, you think you get on the road a little bit and begin Winnipeg or Edmonton, and you know, you're going to see McDavid and Scheifele, and he kind of get picked on a little bit. And I thought he kind of held his own for the most part. And those are all great growing, learning experience for these young players to play in these games, to play against top guys down the stretch where, you know, both all those teams we play on the road were really desperate teams for the most part, and I thought he handled himself really well.
UC Soros playing well. Obviously, you guys are going to need his best here to, you know, to get this done. Andrew, did you think the Olympics helped him in any way?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was very proud of his performance over there. We all watched. I thought he was outstanding. And I think he's carried it over here. I think when he first got back, obviously, you know, it's an emotional letdown for a lot of those guys. And even our Olympians, the travel and the highs and lows and the excitement level going there. But I thought he's responded really quickly. He's carried us on this road trip for the most part, especially in Winnipeg and in Seattle, where he was outstanding. So I think even in Winnipeg, Vancouver, we weren't really sharp, he got us a point that game. So I think his game feels really good where it is, and we're going to need him. I mean, I think obviously with everything that's gone on, we're going to need that stabilizing factor all the way through the end of the year, and we're going to need him to steal a few games, and he did that the other night.
Andrew, I'm just curious, from your perspective, you know, obviously we know how gifted Ryan O'Reilly is as a player. What specifically do you think makes him so good in shootout situations, where it just seems like the last 3 years he's been absolute money for you guys in those situations?
Yeah, he has an innate ability not to let the moment get too big. I think we've seen it in the St. Louis Stanley Cup run where he was Conn Smythe, but just even day-to-day, play-to-play. I mean, I think he has an unbelievable ability to let the last play go and be ready for the next one. And he's as cool as you're going to get in any situation. I mean, I don't think he has a heartbeat when he's got those kind of plays. And I think, one, it's inner confidence, and two, it's that mental ability just to be in the moment. And he's done that since I've known him, and I think, he's been a pleasure to coach, and I've seen him do it big moments in other places playing against him. And he's a pretty special player, and we're lucky to have him.
Obviously, he was a discussion point for weeks leading up to the deadline, Andrew, and then he's not ultimately dealt. What is the benefit beyond, you know, what he does on the ice as a player, but like, what's the benefit for him being in this franchise moving forward, I guess in particular for like young guys?
Well, yeah, I think, boy, one, he's the ultimate pro. I think he does everything, his preparation, his work after practice, the work he puts in his game and his mental game. I think for anybody that's around him and being a sponge to see what he does every day. And I think I see, from my perspective, being here for 3 years, I've seen the growth in a guy like Evangelista, you know, where he's, you know, he sees, you know, factor work every day after practice, how he prepares for a game, how he handles himself with his teammates, how he lives in that moment, like I was talking about, how he's able to get the team to move on quickly. And he's, you know, his fingerprints are all over all these young kids. And I think, you know, I was very fortunate to have his brother Cal when I was upstairs in Minnesota. He brought that same kind of thing to our American League team in Iowa, where we had Erickson Eck and we had Luke Cunningham and we had Jordan Greenway and all these kids, that young players that we were looking for an influence to you know, how to play, how to be a pro, how to do the right things, how to prepare yourself, how to stay in the moment, how to work on your skills every day. And if you watch him before practice, just watch and learn. And he grabs them and they gravitate towards him. And I see him before practice or after practice, and they're working on little things in the game that I think are so important. And a lot of people don't see those little things. You know, they're looking for the highlight goals, but he does all the little things that you're evidence for the hockey fan to see in every play in the game. So he's helping our kids dramatically. And then obviously for our group, he's able to handle, you know, as we get younger, he's able to handle the McDavids and McKinnons, and he could play against top guys, which gives a little freedom to the rest of your lineup. So he brings so much. And like I said, his fingerprints are all over here.
So, Andrew, last thing for you here. Obviously, it's a big game tonight, taking on Seattle. You guys saw them last week. So what do you think of just the matchup? What kind of stands out to you about the Seattle team that you're taking on tonight?
Well, they're fast. They're going to play a fast, in-your-face kind of game. And then they defend extremely well. You know, they pack it in, and they'll be patient in the defensive zone, and they push the pace offensively. And I thought they got to us a little bit where we didn't nullify their speed early, especially on the forecheck. And, you know, we gave up a little bit more than we liked, especially early in that game, until we got on our toes. So tonight's going to be really important for us to get to get going right away. And that's been a little bit of an Achilles tendon for our group. I thought that Winnipeg was, you know, perfect ingredients to have a fast start. You know, I thought we were quick out of the gate. We drew a penalty early, which usually it's the other way around. We scored a power play goal. We got ahead. We put ourselves in a position to get to our game at different times. And did it go 100% as planned? It didn't, and it never does. But I thought the ingredients were there for that kind of start. And that's what we're going to need tonight, just that mindset. That's the first 10 minutes. Let's get to our game and, you know, not wait. We've had a tendency to wait ourselves into a little bit of a game or to feel it out a little bit. And I wish I knew what it was. I think we talk about it every day, but I'm hoping we can build off our start in Winnipeg and bring that here tonight.
Well, it should be fun. It's going to be a fun environment at Bridgestone tonight. Andrew, looking forward to it. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Actually, wait, one thing, right, one guys. Quick thing. One quick thing. We ask you about fantasy football sometimes. Did you fill out a bracket?
I haven't filled out a bracket. I'm disappointed. We were traveling yesterday. Usually I do every year.
You still have time. You got some time. You're not busy.
I know
today,
I
right?
got time.
Is yeah. anything going on?
Well, I might sneak one in. I might sneak one in, but I watching Vanderbilt. That's exciting. You know, I saw them in the SEC. That's unbelievable to be part of this over here. You know, the football, and then you got the basketball. So definitely keeping my eye out on them, and they're a fun team to watch.
No doubt.
No doubt. Andrew, thanks so much for being with us, man. We'll see you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Andrew Burnett, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Arrow Exterminators. Going beyond the call, Arrow Exterminators, a proud partner with the Nashville Predators. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Totally screwed up as a parent. And I was out there covering this, and there was so much weed smoke, I was high out of my mind.
My joints are all fine.
The contact buzz, you know, I just wanted to go get some taquitos.
Hey, Alante, Paul Kuharsky, paulkuharsky.com. Nice to meet you.
Paul Kuharsky, have I mentioned my name? It's Kuharsky, and it's paulkuharsky.com.
So, Alante.
They've got you giving up 8 touchdowns last year, 13 the last 2 years.
You couldn't stop anybody from getting in the end zone last year. What's with that?
Why do they catch all the balls in the end zone against you, Alante?
Great question.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. That may have been the best mashup of all time. God, that was amazing. Joe, the floor is yours.
Holy cow. Oh God, I gotta go back.
Ian, I need you to send that mashup to me. That's going in the all timer. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, if PK isn't listening, then man, he needs to. And now I feel like I feel bad that I'm not ranting about like PK and or Alante Taylor, you know. So I'm gonna try to do a little experiment here. This is probably gonna go really poorly. About 7:15. Yeah, no. About a half hour ago, I'm sitting here doing the show, and I'm like, "What the hell is that sound? It's like this thumping." And I'm like, "What is going on here?" And I look out my window. Okay, we're gonna try this. It's fine. We'll give it a try. I look at my window, and it's 7:15 a.m., and Nebraska fans are all over the courtyard here with a DJ drinking and tailgating like it's freaking, like it's, you know, Nebraska,
National championship,
Oklahoma,
baby. Here we go.
It's
Tommy Frazier's walking through the building.
It's let me see if I can do it. Yeah, this is probably going to be here. Let's see here. There we go.
Ian, what are the chances he takes himself off the air by picking up his entire
setup?
Oh,
it's quite
right
possible,
now.
Or we have a complete drop shatter of the computer right there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see these people. So the arena is like right there. Here's these people. Actually, it's thinned out. Like a few. Last time I looked, it was like a ton of them. Some of them may have gone in to get a little breakfast buffet, but like
if you're watching on YouTube right now, you're getting quite the treat.
So this goes along with. And I was telling somebody this yesterday. I covered like the first time I covered a Nebraska basketball game, you know, it was, I mean, what year would it have been? 2012, 2013, something like that. You know, shortly after they got into the Big Ten. And I had never really thought much ever in my life about Nebraska basketball. Nebraska ball, as you might call it. I remember, you know, went out there and, you know, Michigan State had a, it might have been a Draymond team. I don't know. But I just remember sitting there and being like, this is one of the greatest atmospheres I've ever seen for Nebraska basketball. I will say my rant is a proclamation today. I think that Tennessee fans, that's some of the, it's one of the biggest and most loyal fan bases. And I think whenever, I think with Tennessee, you see like baseball, they get good. I don't know where, look at the support. Look at what happens when a Tony Vitello comes through and all of a sudden you're building all this stuff and you're all over everything. Tennessee fans are going to support, you know, a winning team. And I think that Nebraska fans are the greatest sports fans. I think Nebraska fans are the greatest sports fans. And I'll tell you another thing about them. It's kind of weird, but if you ever go to a game in Lincoln, a football game in Lincoln, they are, and this was probably a lot easier for them when they were like good, but they are famously incredibly polite, in particular to the opposing team. So in warmups, it's like no one says, "Hey, fart you, loser." They are like, "Hey, it's really great to see you. I hope you have a great day today. I mean, I hope we win, but I really wish you the best of luck out there." I'm not kidding you. They scream like pleasantries and compliments at the opposing team. It's a real thing, which to me is like, I mean, it probably actually gets in the heads of people, right? If you're used to like people heckling you and you're getting like, "Hey, man, you're looking really good out there today in warmups." So that uniqueness, along with now these people are out here getting hammered at 7 a.m. in a courtyard of a courtyard hotel before a basketball game.
In Oklahoma City.
It's like the lady from Fargo. The main character in Fargo just walking around with that accent being so nice, but also just, you know, a ruthless detective.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, you remember that, do you? You remember that part or no? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a great one. Fran, please help me.
I can't remember. Dolores somehow sticks out the name.
I mean, she's an all-time Frances McDormand, right?
There you go. Yep.
All-time great actor, yeah. So anyway, these fans are – they're now, I have to – we'll see in the arena, you know, if it's as dominant as it looks like it might be, but what an incredible fan base. And I'm going to say this from Vanderbilt's perspective, like they are going to be against you today. Again, I guess, honestly, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, I guess you would have rooted anyway for them to lose, right? But if they win, you are going to be in a very hostile environment. Now they might be like, "Hey, Vanderbilt, we hope you lose today, but by golly, you guys are really shooting well in warmups."
Yeah.
But they're going to be cheering against you.
All I hear from all that you're describing is Nebraska is not cut out for the SEC. It doesn't mean more.
Well, I mean, it's very different for sure. It's funny too, because like Nebraska and Iowa are kind of, you know, they're rivals.
Yeah.
And Iowa fans are like famously awful to the opposing, and they're like, like the stands are really close to the field there, like really close. You can hear everything they say, and they're like horrible to them. So it's kind of interesting.
Really,
you know, the corn fed Midwesterners. You know, they're not all the same.
I didn't know that the Hawkeyes fans apparently just get after people all the time. Good to know.
Again, it's like some of it is just because you can actually, like, you can't get away if you're on the opposing bench. You can hear everything. They're like right on top of you. You know, it's almost like, you know, if you cover a game at Cameron Indoor Stadium, like students are actually like rubbing against your back and spitting on your neck and editing your story.
Yeah.
Cause like, that's how close they are.
There we go. Good to know. Watch out for Iowa Hawkeyes people out there. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, Rex Road participated in an exercise and I'm stunned by the end result of it. Not necessarily from him, but just in general. We'll get into it coming up next. Robbie and Rex are at 102.5 The Game.